have. Matthew chapter 28, if you will. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to be continuing on in this this study here of biblical discipleship. And notice there I have at the top of the handout there on the back of the bulletin, biblical disciples prepare to reach others physically and spiritually. Now, we started talking about the physical aspect. We're going to finish that up this evening and then go into the spiritual aspect as well. But I want us to notice here in Matthew chapter 28, very familiar passage, and verse 16 through 20, and the Bible says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word of God this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we do thank you for your word. I thank you for beautiful creation, Lord, that you have given to us. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us, Lord, to see your hand at work through all of these things that we see in your creation. Lord, I know that even nature itself, Lord, it teaches us that there is a God. And Lord, we know that all of this was put together by none other than you. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with us tonight as we open your word and as we dive into this study here this evening. I do pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to draw closer to you. Lord, that we would be the biblical disciples, Lord, that we've been called to be. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be prepared to reach others with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice on the live stream that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you this evening. And ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, of course, we see that it is the Great Commission passage. If you were to ask someone that has been involved in church for any period of time, if you were to ask them, where is the Great Commission given? Most likely, they would say Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, or they would say the end of the book of Matthew. It's arguably the most popular, if you will, Great Commission passage. Now, we see the Great Commission is given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and also in the book of Acts. But here in Matthew chapter 28, we just see so much in this passage. And I love the beginning of the Great Commission in verse 18 when it says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And the reason I love that verse there, that part of that verse, is because the one that is saying that he is all powerful is the one who is sending us out to reach others. And that's what we've been talking about, this truth of reaching others for the cause of Christ. So we've been discussing the biblical discipleship and reaching others, and the things we've discussed so far are very important because the Lord has called us to do this. It's what the Lord desires for us to do. He has called us as believers. If you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior tonight, understand you are a believer. Therefore, you have a command given from God. The Great Commission was given to you and to me to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should do all we can to get better at this calling that we have in our life. Now, we understand this in our secular career. We try to get better at our craft, and the same thing should be true with our calling to reach souls for the cause of Christ. I love going out with different ones of soul winning. I've had the opportunity to go out with different ones that are at different spiritual levels, if you will, and pastors and ones like that, people that have been in the ministry for a very long time. I love going out with them, and each time I go out with someone, I try to pick up some little things that they do that would help me to be more precise in the way that I'm winning souls to Christ, the way that I'm giving out the gospel. We can all learn how to do better, and the Lord will teach us those things, but we must be willing to learn. But when we discuss being mentally prepared, we discussed the truth that all of us need to do, and that is this: remove the excuses. We shouldn't be saying, well, I can't do this, or well, that's just not my calling, or well, someone else will go. No, we all need to understand that this is our calling. We can do it because we can do all things through Christ. This is what the Lord has given us to do, and He's the one who has the power in which He is sending us out. We also said, not only do we need to remove the excuses, we need to set a goal. Now, I don't know what your goal is, and your goal doesn't have to match anyone else's goal, but mentally speaking, we are motivated by goals. We're motivated by something that we set forth in our mind. There are some that would disagree with the idea of setting goals, spiritually speaking, if you will, and that's fine. However, we are to be striving for the cause of Christ. We are to be striving to do more for our Savior. We are to be, as the Bible says, what? Pressing towards the mark, doing all we can to please our Savior. You know, the truth of the matter is that as we read throughout the New Testament, we find that that the Apostle Paul, we see that as he was going throughout the New Testament, there were many things that he was doing, but also he was teaching others also. What was he trying to do? He was trying to teach them how to win souls to Christ, how to preach the gospel, how to disciple others, how to teach others, and all of those things. Some people say, well, you shouldn't set a goal because we shouldn't be focused on numbers. Well, I understand that that numbers shouldn't be our goal, but understand this as well. All throughout the New Testament, the Lord gave great attention to numbers. When you look at the early church in the book of Acts, it says that there were saved and baptized and added to the church 3,000 souls. Over and over, you'll see the Lord mentioning numbers. It is never to be our goal that I won't be happy until this place is filled. No, our goal needs to be, I want to serve our Lord and Savior. But the more people we can reach for Christ, the correct way, reaching them for Christ, understanding that they were on their way to hell, now they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior and they're on their way to heaven, we can get excited about winning people to Christ. People were saved, baptized, added to the church. We need to set a goal. Set a goal for tract distribution, for witnessing time, whatever it may be, because our goal is what we will aim towards. Then we dove into the aspect of being physically prepared. We talked about taking care of our body. And we as believers, we have been called to preach the gospel to every creature. And praise the Lord for that calling. But therefore, we should do everything in our power to ensure that we can do our best for the Lord. I mentioned, of course, that there are some that physically speaking, they just cannot do certain things. And I understand that. And the Lord definitely understands that. But there is something that all of us can do. Everyone can pray for souls to come to Christ. Everyone can do whatever they can do for the Lord. But God forbid, as I mentioned last week, that we're not capable of getting out and giving out the gospel because our appetite is out of control. Lord, help us. That leads to laziness for the cause of Christ. And that's not being physically prepared. I'm not saying we have to be bodybuilders or gym rats or anything like that, but we should be do our best in the best of our ability to care for this physical body that the Lord has given us. We also discussed how we must look for areas of service. What can I do for the Lord? The Apostle Paul asked this question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? We should be looking for areas of service. There's all kinds of things to be done for the Lord. And don't look down on any job. Praise the Lord for the ones that come in and clean the building. We've got church vehicles to be washed and oil to be changed and weeds on the property to be sprayed and pulled and trash to be emptied, things to be pressure washed, bushes to be trimmed, and on and on and on it goes. Buses need to be run. We have a church van that I'd like nothing more than to see it filled with people coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be busy. Let's continually be busy. People need to be reached. Let's look for areas of service. So physically speaking, we talked about caring for our bodies, looking for areas of service, and then we talked about the importance of seeing that there is no stopping place. And praise the Lord that in this passage, the Lord said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, because that removes all confusion from where we're to stop. We're not to stop. Until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us home, we have a job to do. If there's breath in our lungs, we have a job to do for Christ. He intends for us to keep going and to keep being faithful. So as we continue on in this study tonight, I want to look at a couple more things about being physically prepared, and then we'll look at being spiritually prepared as well. So notice here, in being physically prepared, we must pay close attention or pay attention to your outward appearance. Pay attention to your outward appearance. Look at Romans chapter 14, if you will. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Romans 14, 13. Of course, this chapter is speaking of Christian liberty, and we do have liberty, and praise the Lord for that. We have the liberty to do exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Amen. But here in Romans 14 and verse 13, the Bible says this: "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or any occasion or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, in that verse that we just read, of course, in its interpretation, it is speaking of the stumbling block that we can put there. And this passage, of course, the Apostle Paul, he goes down and he talks about not eating meat if he's with someone who does not think you should eat meat and all of that. And he talks about putting his own self aside and dying to self and not being a stumbling block to this person, or not doing something that's going to cause another person to stumble or refuse Christ, and not doing that in their presence. But I believe also we can see an application here in the way that we present ourselves as well, and also in the way that we care for ourselves. When we go out as a church, and when we had the soul winning training, we discussed some of this as well. But when we go out as a church, we're out knocking on doors. What are we doing? We're promoting the name of Christ. We're going out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a New Testament or something like that with us. And we've got the gospel tracts and those things. And we're going out not to tell people that they have to come to Grace Baptist Church. No, we're telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're giving them the most important news they'll ever hear in their life. It's the most important news they'll hear in all of eternity. Now, understand, we should dress nice. You know, I'm not saying you go out wearing a suit and tie or something like that. You can. I know people that do that every time, and that's fine. But understand this, whether it be khakis or a button-up or nice pants with a polo, ladies, a nice skirt or dress and a nice blouse, whatever. Our hair should be done. Hello. We should do that. We shouldn't look like some wild person just rolled out of bed walking up to somebody's door. Why? Because when we're walking up to their door, most of the time they see you coming before you ever knock on that door. Before you ever ring that doorbell, they see you coming. I can remember a time when I was out in Dover, and we were walking down this one neighborhood there in Dover, and as I'm walking down the sidewalk, I see the blinds in, I guess, what was the living room, and I see them crack open like this. And I can see eyes peering through the blind. Well, of course, I'm walking and their sidewalk's just up here, and I look over and I see that. So I walk, and as soon as I turn on that sidewalk, I see the blinds go and they close up. I walk up and I knock on the door. No answer. I wanted to say, "I know you're in there. I saw the blinds, you know." But I say all that to say this: people see you coming. And we are representing the best thing we could ever represent. Therefore, we need to care for our outward appearance. We need to look presentable as well. Understand this: our personal hygiene should be in order. You know, when you stand and talk to someone, and as I mentioned, I believe it was last week, people that have that calling to teach young ones, oftentimes the young ones, their breath is putrid, to say the least. They have this breath that's there, and you can't hear the words coming out of their mouth because of the smell of their breath. Shouldn't be that way when we're giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to do anything to turn people off to the message that we have to tell them. It's not our message, it's the Lord's. Therefore, we should We should care for ourselves. We should take great care into that. God forbid if we give the gospel to someone who needs to be saved and all they can think about is the way that we smell. We should smell clean. Listen, these are some basic things, and I understand that. I know that these are some things that people should just know. However, many times, understand this, we will give our very best when going to a job interview. We'll go in there, we'll prepare beforehand, and we'll make sure that everything is nice and neat, and we'll make sure that we're ready, and okay, they're probably going to ask these questions, so I want to make sure I have these answers, and we make sure that everything is prim and proper, and all of that. We put on a cologne or perfume or whatever, and we do all of that because we're striving to make an impact on a human interviewer. So we do for an interview. But yet many times when someone is going soul winning, they'll give their second best. Lord, help us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is much more important than winning over a potential employer. Let's care for ourselves. We are presenting our Lord. We should pay close attention to our outward appearance because that's going to be the first thing that people see when we are coming down the road. Can I tell you this? And I know this is true for other people because it's true for me and it's true for you as well. You know, when people first set their eyes on you, they've already made an assumption about you. They already have. Well, they shouldn't judge me. Yeah, they shouldn't, but we shouldn't judge others either, but yet we do. It's in our human nature. And then we look at people and we make an observation about them. As you see a person who is walking filthy, all of a sudden your mind immediately categorizes them as a dirty person. If we see a nicely dressed man or woman, we automatically categorize them as a businessman or woman. Well, why didn't the guy that was filthy from head to toe, why didn't we look at him as a businessman or woman? It's because of the way he presented himself. He may be a very nice person. He may be a businessman, but he wasn't presented that way. You know, as me and Sterling, we were at Walmart earlier today, and I took the opportunity to teach him a life lesson when we walked up to self-checkout, and I saw two gentlemen standing there at the self-checkout, and both of them had their black pants on and white shirt and their tie and their little name badges on. And after we got through, I was telling Sterling about the Mormon church and all of that, and telling him some of the things that they believe and all of that. But you know, I've never had a person from the Mormon church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, whatever they call themselves. And I've never had one of them knock on my door and not be well-dressed. But that's a false religion. And it's a religion that it should rile us up inside that people are spreading that false gospel. But yet, they're giving their best toward it. Why? Because it's important to them. We give our best to what is important to us. Let's understand that this is important, and it should be the most important thing to us. People will give more attention to what you say if they can see that you're put together. Again, I'm not saying, of course, you have to walk around in a three-piece suit to go soul winning. Brother Gary says, praise the Lord, on Sunday or in the middle of the summertime, he doesn't have to wear a three-piece suit. Amen. It's hot out there. But we can look presentable. We can look clean. We can care for our outward appearance. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So pay close attention to your outward appearance. Notice number two there, under the physically prepared section. Notice, consider how you approach people and their homes. Consider that. This is all part of being physically prepared to reach others, because if we can do all sorts of things and learn how to go out and talk to people and what we should say and what we shouldn't say and all of that. But if we are going to be prepared to reach others, these bare basics have got to be in our mind. We must consider how we approach people and their home. Look at 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Of course, speaking for the church here, is what this verse is implied to, and the things that go on in the church. The Bible says this: let all things be done decently and in order. You know, when we go out and we are telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, we are giving them what God wants them to hear. Yes, we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But praise the Lord as well, we're representing the church at which we are a part of. And we should understand that there is a way to approach people. There is a way to approach people's homes, and this should be done decently and in order. When we go out soul winning, when we are out knocking on doors, understand there is to be some order to that. We've got the map in the back, and it tells us exactly where we've been and where we need to go, and all of that. We have printouts of maps that you've seen and all of that. Why is that? Because we want there to be some order or some structure, because I believe that the Lord is going to work through that. Some structure to what we are doing. That map on the back is a great visual. Tells us where we've been and where we still need to go. But it should be done in order. When we go out and as we're walking down the street, understand, as we already discussed, people are watching. People are keeping their eye on you around their property. You know, almost every door now has a video doorbell. Almost everyone. Even from the time when me and my family first came up here to Oxford almost 3 years ago, hard to believe time flies that fast, but it's been almost 3 years. But when we first came up here to now, it's amazing the amount of those video doorbells that have increased just in this area. I walked up to one the other day, and as I was walking up there, of course, there was one just on the other side of Oxford, and I walked up and said, "You are being recorded." I said, "Okay," and I kept walking up to the door. Walked up to one the other day, and it was a lady's voice, I guess a recording of the lady in the house, and it said, "Hello." I thought somebody was talking through the window. So I said, "Hello, I don't see you," and then all of a sudden I heard, "You are being recorded." I was like, "Oh, well, now I'm talking to myself out here in the middle of nowhere, amen." But I say all that to say this: we're being recorded. People are watching. All of those video doorbells, when it senses motion, it comes up on their phone, and they can see you walking up there. They can see that. They know exactly where you're at while you are on their property. And the way that we approach people and the way that we handle their property when we are on it is either going to intrigue people or immediately turn them off to the message that you have to speak. One or the other. Just take great care in that. When we approach a home, and it's best to use the driveway or walkways whenever there is one. People care about their grass. Some places, they appear to not have a care in the world about their grass, but some of them people say they care about their grass. Others are like perfectly manicured lawns, but both should be respected because they are someone else's property. When we walk up to a porch or a door, take great care of what's around us. There may be pets, and some pets to some people, that's like their child. I saw a sticker on the back of a car that said, "My child has four legs." And I said, "Wow." Of course, it had pictures of paw prints and all of that on there. But they see them as their children. And I've even been to some homes that expected me to acknowledge the pet. And the pet, of course, loved that attention as well. We need to consider all these things. You know, as we walk up to someone's house, it's important for us to understand that we are taking of their time when we go up there. They are busy people. All of us are busy people. We cannot allow ourselves to think that, well, people just sit in their houses and do nothing. They've got plenty of time for me to come up here and talk. No, understand, you're on their time. Don't waste time. But also, don't be so mechanical either. Take note of what their interests are, their sports teams or vehicles, things like that. Those things will help you gain a listening ear. Too often, people who are soul winning, they sound like robots. They say, "Well, this is what we say, and this is the way that we say it," and all of those things. And I understand. For those of you that have been soul winning with me, I've got a usual spiel, if you will, that is a conversation starter, and it's just something I've rehearsed in my mind, and I'll go off of it sometimes, and all of that. But when it comes to talking to people, we should not sound like a robot to them. No, sound like a real person. We are giving out a great message here. We're giving out something that could change their eternity. They need to know that we care. We have the truth and they need the truth. Therefore, we can win them. And notice what the Bible says about winning people through our conversation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The word conversation is talking about the way that we live, the way we conduct ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, of course, speaking of marriage here. The Bible says this, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Now, I understand that is speaking of marriage there, but that word conversation, it means behavior. People, you can gain a listening ear by the way you behave going up to someone when you talk to them. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Notice, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. God forbid if we acted in a way when we were walking up to someone's property that caused them to get angry because of the way we treated their property. No, we are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ in our conversation, our way of life, the way that we talk to them, the way that we present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. It should be a wonderful thing. It should be a loving thing. The way that we act, people can be won to Christ because they understand that we care for them. These are all things that we must do and be physically prepared to reach others. And then notice this next section here, to be spiritually prepared. To be spiritually prepared. Here in, I'm going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So everything that we do, every way that we are to be prepared, every way in which we strive to reach others should be so that people will see that work not to glorify us, but to glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, it's the most important part of reaching others is the spiritual preparation. All the other things that we discuss are important and they are some best practices, if you will. But if you are prepared mentally, if you have removed those excuses from your mind and if you are prepared physically and you're willing to go out and do these things and those things that we've discussed, but spiritually you're unprepared, understand you will make no progress for the name of Christ. We need the Lord's help. Notice there in Matthew 9 and verse 38, notice the first thing under spiritually prepared is this: pray for the Lord's help. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Notice the Bible says this: "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to pray. We need to pray that He'll help us be the laborers that we're called to be, but also pray that the Lord will send other laborers as well. Notice verse 37 of that same passage. "Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." He says, pray that the Lord is going to send these workers there, these laborers. Church, we need help out there. We do. We need the Lord, but we need the Lord's guidance. We need the Lord's wisdom. This passage in Matthew says, pray that He will send forth laborers. This implies that the laborers are laboring for Christ. What are they doing? They're doing His will. They're not doing their own will. There's an awful lot of places out there that have church on the front of their building that are not doing the will of Christ. Lord, help us. We don't need a people that that are just going to sit on the sidelines. No, the Lord doesn't say, pray that the Lord will send people that are just sitters. No, the Lord says, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest, ones that are going to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. We need the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit's power. Every single time we go out as a group, what do? We always begin with a word of prayer. That is the most important part of going out, is asking the Lord to give us wisdom and strength as we go. You know, soul winning, and I've said this many times in different ways, but soul winning is not something that we just do on Saturdays. To be a soul winner is supposed to be an everyday thing. It's a way of life. We are to be soul winners. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. We desire the wisdom of the Lord. Therefore, we should be striving to win souls. So if that is our life goal, to win souls, to glorify the Lord, then every single day, that's what we will strive to do. Therefore, every morning, we should be praying that the Lord would give us the strength to do that. You know, because every single day, there's going to be someone that crosses our path that the Lord says, give the gospel to that person. And we either say, I'm too busy, or they look too busy, or, I can't believe that person over there treated me that way. And we walk past in church, we need the Lord's help. We do, because we're dealing with this wicked, rotten flesh. That's what we're dealing with. We need the Lord's help. Pray for the Lord's help every single day, and pray for other believers to be used by the Lord. We must pray that the Lord will help us and also send other laborers into the harvest. We never know at what time of day someone is giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Lord brings somebody to your mind, pray that the Lord would help them. Whatever it may be, it could be something as simple as, Lord, whatever they're going through, help them with that right now. When the Lord brings them to your mind, it's not by accident. The Lord can help them. Let's be praying for the Lord's help. And then also, something else we must do, notice number two there is this, carry the plan of salvation with you. Now, there's a couple of ways to do that. In my mind, I say when I leave the house, well, I've got the Romans Road memorized in my mind, so I'll be okay. You know what happens when I'm standing there talking to someone? All of those verses that I know, I can't find them anywhere. They're just not computing up here. And many times I'll pull out my New Testament or something like that, which is a great thing anyway. And I'll get to that here in just a moment. But sometimes when you're witnessing to someone and they'll ask about sin or about how why you would say that all are sinners and those things, we need to have these verses ready. That's part of being spiritually prepared, studying the Word of God, studying to know what the truth is, so that we can lead others to Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what we're supposed to do. We should know that all have sinned. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. All deserve hell because of their sin. Romans 6:23. Jesus paid the sin debt. Of course, the end of Romans 6:23 and also John 3:16. And then repent and believe. Romans 10:9 through 13. We must have those things with us. You know, there have been different ones that as the Lord has given me opportunities to witness to people, there's been different ones where I've had a track and I've worked through the track with them, and the Lord's allowed me to lead them to Christ through that, and praise the Lord. I've been able to lead people to Christ just by memorizing these verses. Maybe when I was at work, I didn't have a Bible directly with me, and I can give them these verses. The Lord's worked that way. But by far, the greatest way that I've seen the Lord work in leading people to Christ is when I was able to take the Bible and open it up and do something like this. The Bible says that for all have sinned. And when I open the Bible up and I say, look, right here, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When they can see that it's written on the words of God and not just words out of my lips, they understand there's authority behind it. We must have these things with us. There's all sorts of helps that you can get for that, and New Testament guides and all of that. And those are not bad things. But understand, we must have the plan of salvation there. We must at least either have it memorized or have it close beside us in our car or something like that, because it's our goal to lead people to Christ. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Church, we need to be spiritually prepared to reach people. Our prayer is that the Lord would continue to use us. And I thank the Lord for the fruit that we've seen thus far. And it's just an amazing thing to see what the Lord is doing. But understand, we cannot let our foot off the gas. We must continually go for the Lord, continually ask the Lord to help us to be prepared. And then notice lastly there, at the very end, be continually drawing closer to the Lord. Continually drawing closer to the Lord. Why don't you look at James chapter 4, if you will. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm excited about this study in the book of James. We started on Sunday evenings. The Lord's already working in my heart through that. No doubt we'll get to this passage here if the Lord wills. But in James chapter 4 and verse 8, notice the Bible says this. Now this is a promise because it's written in the Word of God. Notice, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What does it say? When you draw nigh to God, it says that He will draw nigh to you. We need to be drawing closer to the Lord. Church, we all need the Lord. We all need to draw closer to the Lord. However, it will never happen by accident. You know, I've had the privilege of knowing a lot of people that through their testimony, I see that they are very close to the Lord. And I praise the Lord for those different ones. Brother Jack Walton, who I mentioned, had that fall on Saturday. That man is close to the Lord. I know that by the way of his conversation and by the word of his testimony and just the way that he lives. I know that he's close to the Lord. If I was to ask him, how did you get so close to the Lord? I can guarantee he wouldn't say, I just woke up one day and it just happened. They wouldn't say that. First of all, he would say, I'm not as close as I should be. Because none of us are. But we're only as close to the Lord as we desire to be. Understand, we can draw closer to the Lord, but it has to be intentional. Through studying the Word of God. Through prayer. Through understanding that every single time the Word of God is open, the Lord is striving to draw us closer to Him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, strengthen the things that remain. There are some things in our life that need to be strengthened. Drawing closer to the Lord is one of those things. Our relationship with the Lord every single day should be stronger. We need to witness. We need to be prepared mentally. We need to be prepared physically. Those things are important. However, we must strengthen the things that remain. We must be prepared spiritually. In the book of Revelation, we read of a church by the name of Laodicea. The church was not known for its great spirituality. Church was not known for the way that it was making a difference for the cause of Christ. No, it was known for its carnality. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. What happened? They stopped drawing closer to the Lord. That's what happened. There are places out there that used to be places where the Bible was preached, places where the Word of God would be sounded forth, places where people would go forth and witness. But yet, at some point, they stopped drawing closer to the Lord, and now you wouldn't find a true message in the place. You wouldn't find anyone going out soul winning. You wouldn't find anyone living a separated life because at some point they stopped preparing themselves. They stopped asking the Lord to draw them closer to Himself. You see, all of these things, mentally, physically, spiritually, all of these things are important. And with every one of them, we need the Lord's help. It's not going to come by accident. But if we are prepared to reach others, I can guarantee you, the Lord's going to give you someone to reach. He's going to. If you open your eyes to this lost and dying world, I can guarantee we're going to see some lost souls that surround us every day. Ones that have just always been there, yet we've looked right over top of them. Church, we as biblical disciples must be prepared to reach others. And if we do not put these things into place, if we are not living for the purpose of leading souls to Christ and promoting the name of Christ, understand we are just like those ones that were lukewarm. Let's allow the Lord to prepare us, and spiritually to prepare, and let's leave the results to the Lord. There's an awful lot of people that say, well, I've went out and knocked on doors and no one came to Christ when I did that. Well, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say, and stop if nobody listens. The Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect teacher. As we heard about on a Sunday night with his own brother. His own brother didn't believe until later in life. He was perfect. We just have to stay busy. We need to be biblical disciples who are prepared to lead others to Christ. Let's remain faithful and let's be prepared to reach others. Amen? Let's pray.